Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour and a half, we will be discussing, among other things, last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. So much to talk about, folks, with Starrcade happening on Sunday, last night's Monday Night Raw, and what we're going to start out the show with. Oh, my goodness. The Sandman has set the world on fire. For the benefit of the people who may not know the Sandman, former ECW wrestler, former ECW champion, briefly in TNA and as Hack. Man, did he set the wrestling world abuzz. I don't know if he's just working everybody, because as someone who's met him several times, he's a very nice guy. Very articulate guy. Smart, friendly, outgoing guy. And sometimes he likes to play with you a little bit, but he also likes his, he likes his brew. And maybe he was a little intoxicated when he said it. I don't know, but here's the deal. The Sandman apparently walked up to Jordynne Grace, who, of course, is a women's worker, and said to her, "Women do not belong in the main event of wrestling matches." And if you ask any male worker, and they're really going to be honest with you, they'll tell you the same damn thing. Women do not belong in the main event on a pro wrestling card. Well, Jordynne Grace took offense to it, and she tweeted it out saying, "In 1998, the Sandman told me this," and then said, "Oh, no, wait a minute. That was just 5 minutes ago backstage." This led Tessa Blanchard come out to the ring and literally explain to the crowd that the Sandman had just said this, which got the Sandman all kinds of heat and boos and all kinds of stuff. So, look, here's the deal. It's quite obvious that at certain times, women do indeed belong in the main event in wrestling matches. If you want me to give you an example, WrestleMania, Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch was absolutely the main event. It was the match most people were anticipating. And that's great. But now here's the controversial part. The Sandman is partially right. And why he's partially right has nothing to do with sexism. He's partially right because 90% of the time, 95% of the time, on these cards, that's not the match that sold the tickets. Now, I want you to take male and female, before I trigger anybody, I want you to take male and female out of the equation for a minute. Just talk about the worth. If you're going to see a band, and one band has sold a million records, and the other one is just up and coming, guess who's opening? Guess who the opening act is? It doesn't make any difference if the opening act is actually technically better. That doesn't make any difference. The promoter is putting the feature act as the one who drew the crowd. No. Yes. The answer is yes. So I would call it sexist to do the opposite. In other words, if a top band were playing a gig. And they've had a couple of hits, and they're well known. And a band who just got their song on the radio, who happens to be all female, is also on tour. And that band says, they can be the main act. We'll open up for them. That's condescending. That's condescending. They haven't earned it. You're only doing it because they're women. And that is the definition of sexism. So, yes, there are a lot of times when women are the main event. For instance, the Survivor Series. Are you going to tell me with a straight face that that should have been the main event? Dana Brooke should be in the main event. Because Dana Brooke has done what to earn that main event? Please, somebody tell me. Because Carmella sold so many tickets to the Survivor Series. Don't make me laugh. That was given to them. We want to look progressive, so we'll let the women be the main event this year because you need all the help you can get. That's the sexism. If you're just giving the women the main event because they're women, you are a sexist. Because you're not treating them equally, you're treating them special. So when you can point to me the women who drew the crowd, that's the women who belong in the main event. Simple as that. No maybe about it. And I don't care if, for years we were kept. I don't care. Cry me a river. You either earn it or you don't. But I know this. If somebody said to me, been a while since an Irish guy's been in the main event, and even though you haven't been doing too much, dude, people have been getting on us about no Irish people, so you get to be the main event tonight, even though you've done nothing to earn it. And I say, okay, thank you. Then I'm a kiss ass and they're a suck up. Because what I really should say is, no, sir, when I earn the main event, then I'll gladly be in it. Until then, no. So I think part of what the Sandman is saying is wrong. There are cases where women have earned the main event. Absolutely. Let me give you an example. If we're going to see Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler on a card that has Drew McIntyre against Zack Ryder, that's going to have Aleister Black against Buddy Murphy. That's going to have, AOP versus the Lucha House Party. Yeah. Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler were the main event. Nobody's going to argue that. But if you're going to tell me, well, on this card, we're having Brock Lesnar fight the Fiend in a steel cage, and then Dana Brooke and Carmella is going to tear the house down in the main event. Bullshit. Bullshit. Now, here's the issue. There's not that many women wrestlers that are over. Name them. Name them for me. Becky's over. Sasha's over. Shayna's over. Rhea Ripley's over. Is Bayley really over? No, not really. Obviously, Charlotte Flair is over. And that's about it. That's about it. So you have a very limited opportunity to have the women be the main event, because it's kind of going to have to involve those people until these other female workers are given the opportunity to flesh out their character, like Becky Lynch was, like Charlotte Flair was, like Ronda Rousey was, like all these people who I've mentioned were, and then perhaps they can be the main event. But if the Sandman's point was, and I don't know what his point was, if the Sandman's point was, women are getting the main event who did not earn it by being the one who sold the tickets, the most, you know, basically, you're the one people came to see, he's right. He's absolutely right. And you can deny it, and you can say, oh, if you say that, you must be a misogynist, or you can just face cold, hard reality facts. And the cold, hard reality facts is women do not draw the same amount of fan base as the men. Don't believe me? When's the last time you saw WOW draw 18,000 people? Is WOW Wrestling drawing 18,000 people? Remind me. No, they're not. Here's something. I haven't seen any midget wrestlers in the main event. Why don't we all, you know, get politically correct, and we better get some midget wrestling in here, huh? They got to be the main event. You see, if you hand somebody something they did not earn, that is the very definition of condescending. Just to for you to look more progressive and more modern. Oh, we put them in the main event. See how modern we are? Yeah, but they didn't earn it. But it gets worse, folks. And this is where I'm going to get most of my heat, because I think most people kind of tend to agree with what I just said. But here's where I'm going to get my heat. Tessa Blanchard is a moron. And here's why she's a moron. What gives you the right to come to the ring and tell the fans what somebody said privately to somebody else? Even if you disagree with it? How about if the Sandman comes to the ring and says, you know what Tessa Blanchard just told me? Jordynne Grace is a fat bitch. Would that be okay? Or how about if the Sandman comes to the ring and says, hey, you know, just for the record, so-and-so's back there trying to hit on a 15-year-old girl in the crowd. Would that be okay? I don't care how much Tessa Blanchard disagrees with what the Sandman says, then approach the Sandman and tell him, I'm very offended by what you said. I'd like you to clarify it. If you mean we should never be in the main event, irregardless to how hard we work and how much we draw, I totally disagree with you. But I didn't hear the Sandman say your work rate is not equal to men's work rate. He didn't say that. What I think he was saying was they don't belong in the main event at this point in time because they're not the ones drawing the crowd. And for the most part, that's correct. It's not controversial. That's just factual. How come Evolution did not draw, how come there's not a second one? If it drew so well, how come there's not a second one? How come they couldn't sell any tickets to the damn thing? I'm not saying the women don't work equally as hard as the men. I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not saying that some of the women athletes aren't better than some of the men. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, this is merit-based. There are musicians out there who are Juilliard-trained musicians who can play like no one has ever thought of playing. They draw 90 people to a small club. And there are teenagers who can't sing a note without auto-tune, don't even really sing when they get to their concert, and they draw 40,000. Well, guess who's getting the big money? The people who draw 40,000. So if you're going to sit there and tell me Tessa Blanchard is going to draw more people to an event than, I don't know, Brock Lesnar, I'm telling you, you're full of crap. It's not true. So for Brock Lesnar not to be the main event, it's just being condescending. Of course he's the main event. He's the one people paid the money to see. Whoever the people paid the money to see, that is the main event. Whether it's a woman, a man, a midget, or a bear. I don't care. It's merit-based. It's equal opportunity. Draw the crowd and be the main event. Not be handed the main event because we are treating you special because you're a woman. Is that what you really want? Is that what the women's libbers want? Is that what Tessa Blanchard wants? Well, I didn't earn the main event, but I'm a woman. So they'll give it to me and I'll gladly take it. Why? Why? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and on top of being ridiculous, it's condescending and it's sexist. When you earn it, Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey earned it. They belonged in the main event of WrestleMania. There was no argument from me. Becky Lynch belonged on the cover of that horrible video game. No argument from me. Because she earned it. Dana Brooke, Carmella, couple of the NXT girls who no one has ever really seen in WWE did not deserve the main event of Survivor Series. They were given it because they were women. And because the WWE wanted to look inclusive and progressive and modern. And that's insulting. Do you think for 1 minute that if they said, well, you know, we're going to take a test today to see who could possibly get this job. And if you're Irish, like I am, we're giving you an extra 5 points because we don't really have that many Irish here and we're getting in trouble for it. You know what I'd say? I don't want your 5 points. What the hell are you doing? What are you saying? I'm dumber than everybody else? I need a heads up. I don't want an unfair advantage. I just want an equal playing field. Well, if that's what the women want, you've got it. Now run with it. And if you are the person who can draw that crowd, fine. When's the last time AEW had a women's main event? All-inclusive, kumbaya, we are the politically correct. No, they haven't. Because their women's division is not good. And they know it's not good. And the women aren't over. So if they give them the main event, they're giving it to them for no other reason than they're women. And that is ridiculous. And Tessa Blanchard is ridiculous. How dare you go out to the ring and say what somebody said to you backstage in private or a friend of yours backstage in private? How dare you do that? I'll tell you why. Because they wanted to get the crowd on their side. Oh, I've been triggered. Let me go out and say what that evil man said. So the whole crowd can boo him and I can feel better about myself. Grow up. Grow up. Lost a ton of respect for you. You just don't do that. You just don't. Because someday, Tessa, somebody's going to come to the ring and say what you said backstage about somebody or something or the company you work for or the promoter or the fans that you felt wasn't giving you your just due or something. And then you're going to cry, oh, I was a private conversation. How dare that person say that? How dare you? How dare you? So for the record, I don't agree with the Sandman. If his point is women, no matter how hard they work, no matter how over they are, women should not be in the main event of wrestling matches, I disagree. If a woman, obviously two women, or in this day and age, even a woman and a man, for instance, what they're doing in Impact Wrestling with Sami Callihan and Tessa Blanchard, that's working. That's going to be a main event, and it probably deserves to be the main event. So Tessa Blanchard has an argument that she got over enough to be the main event on an Impact Wrestling card. But she earned it. She wasn't just handed it. If you're handed it, how do you want it? How do you feel you earned it? Show me where you earned it. I can show you where Becky Lynch earned it when she's busted in the face and her nose is broke and she's spurting blood and she's going through with her the motions and next night she's right back to work. I can show you where Ronda Rousey's earned it by not only coming into a sport she knew nothing about and getting humiliated because she doesn't know nothing about it, but busting her ass to try to get to a level where she could compete. I can show you where Charlotte Flair earned it with all the hard work and getting over and the match she had with Ronda Rousey leading up to it and all that kind of stuff. That absolutely captured the fans' attention, and the fans wanted to see that match. And a good amount of people, I would say a majority, if you polled that crowd and said, what match are you most looking forward to? I would say that a majority, maybe not over 50%, but if you block all the matches, the top percentage would have went to Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair. Because that's the one that the storyline was all about. So they earned it. Tessa Blanchard in this instance has earned it. This is the match that is capturing the fans' attention. Survivor Series, that wasn't the match that was capturing fans' attention. That was just done. And there are other times when women's matches ended shows on Raw and even on pay-per-views that it was not earned. It was not earned. So the Sandman is partially correct. I don't, looking in the head of the Sandman is a weird thing. I don't know whether he meant women should not be the main event of wrestling matches right now because there isn't that many that have really earned it, or that there's not that many who are drawing, and it's not fair to the people who are drawing. It's not fair to the person who sold the building out to not be the main event. If that's the case, he's right. If his point is, no matter how good they are, and no matter how bad the guys on the card are, the women should not be the main event, then I disagree with that. But I'll tell you what I disagree with even more than either one of those. I disagree with Tessa Blanchard coming to that ring, taking a microphone, and telling a crowd what happened privately behind the scenes between a wrestler and someone else. I disagree with that even more. I think that was classless and stupid. And if nothing else, everybody's going to say, oh, I applaud her courage. I applaud her for standing up for her gender. But backstage, you're going to say, keep your mouth shut around Tessa Blanchard because she's a blabbermouth. Don't tell Tessa Blanchard something in private because she might go out there and tell the crowd. She's lost respect. I don't care what people say. You can pretend you respect her. You can pretend, oh, that was a wonderful thing to do, but you're going to watch what you say around her, aren't you? How about if you say, this promoter sometimes stiffs people. I'd get my money up front. And then somebody comes to the ring and says, I hope I get paid tonight because so-and-so told me the promoter is in the habit of stiffing people. Would that be a good thing? Or how about they say, you really got to work this crowd because this crowd in this particular town, they're usually really quiet and they're not a good crowd. They're usually a really lousy crowd here. You really got to work this crowd. And somebody comes out and says, hey, guess what Tessa Blanchard just told me? That you're a lousy crowd. That we really got to work you because you guys don't get into it. Would that be okay? I suspect it wouldn't be okay. Mike, what's your thoughts on this?
You're right on everything you said about this, but I'll take it one step further. You're talking about merit. I mean, that match down in NXT between Sasha and Bayley, that merited them being, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was the main event on that particular card.
Yes.
But that merited it because there was a build-up there. for those two women, you know?
Yep.
And they're trying to do that again with Sasha and Bayley, I guess. But it's not just the fact that does she merit it? Does she merit it? Or is it merited to her? It's the fact that the company's job is to make it to where we believe that it's merited for a woman, a women's match to headline a pay-per-view. Right now, we believe that it's merited that because of the way the company has treated this thing in Impact with Tessa Blanchard, that we merited that it's merited that she is in the main event for the title.
Yes.
It's merited. That's the way the company works. Now, would it be merited at this point for somebody like, I don't know, let's say Carmella to be in a championship hunt? No, because the way the company has treated her, it doesn't merit that, because she's going around chasing around with R-Truth around with the 24/7 title. Now, at one
Correct.
Point, when she was when she had that case dropped to her by what's his face, it was, and she was getting the booze. It would, if they would have stayed the course with it, you know, it would have merited her getting that title shot and possibly using that case at a later date. You know, it would have merited it because that's the way they were building her. It's the company's job to help them achieve the merit to get there.
I agree. Let's take this one step farther. Let's take it to the extreme. Let's say Kairi Sane is going to fight Io Shirai. We know that's going to be a great match. We know they're two great athletes. We know that's going to be top-notch, knockdown, drag-out, wonderful wrestling. We know it. And then on that same card, this Gypsy King guy is going to fight Brock Lesnar. Who do you think is going to be the main event? And if you're right now out there saying, Io Shirai, Kairi Sane, shut the radio off. There's something mentally wrong with you. Because you know it's not true. It's not true. And the reason it's not true is because they're not the ones who are going to sell the building out. So if you're sitting there going, yeah, but they're more talented, so what? So what? You're the same people who listen to, is AC/DC more talented than Beethoven? Who sells more records? CDs, downloads, whatever. Please. You're the same people who literally, you know, will watch a movie like, some ridiculously dumb movie and say, yeah, it's a great movie. And then when the Academy Award movies come out with really good actors and everything, they suck. Well, wait a minute. If it's all based on how good you are at what you do, I don't necessarily think, Vin Diesel's a great actor. It's fun to watch, not a great actor. So just go watch great actors then. Go watch the Shakespearean actors. Don't watch Fast and Furious. You're hypocrites. The bottom line of the situation is whoever draws the crowd is the main event. That's it. Be they women, men, whatever. Doesn't matter. That should be the main event. And if it's not, and you're just giving it to the women because they're women, which is worse? Which is more condescending? Which is worse, telling a woman you haven't earned it yet, or telling a woman, even though you haven't earned it, you can have it? This irritates me. But Tessa Blanchard wasn't even done there because she's like some old dude who used to wrestle in pajamas. Yeah, some old dude who used to wrestle in pajamas and bust his freaking ass every night for the entertainment of the crowd, who probably took more injuries and more punishment in his lifetime than you ever, ever will. I'm not going to lie to you. He wasn't a good wrestler, but man, was he willing to bump. Man, was he willing to go out there and entertain that crowd. And because he wasn't a great, great performer, he had to do it other ways. There's no difference with Tessa Blanchard saying some old dude in pajamas is not a good wrestler than there is to say for a concert cellist to say, oh, heavy metal guitar players, that's no big deal. It's all effects and it's not bullshit. They don't know what they're doing. They're not real musicians. The same thing. Same thing. Tessa Blanchard should have a little bit more respect. Tessa Blanchard should have, you want to really earn some respect in the locker room? How about you go back there and just talk to the Sandman and tell him this isn't a conversation for the crowd. This isn't a conversation that everyone here in this building needs to know about. It's between us. Why do you feel that way? And are you telling me that if I get over to the extent that I actually deserve and I've sold this building out, I don't get the main event just because I'm a woman? Is that what you're saying? Because if that's the case, then you're an idiot. Let him clarify. And if he says, yes, that's what I mean. No woman, I don't care how over they are. I don't care if Ronda Rousey comes to a bingo hall with 40 people in the audience and there's not a wrestler on here that anyone's ever heard of. Ronda Rousey shouldn't be the main event. Then he's nuts. He's lost his mind. But if he's saying, when there are people here who fans have paid good money to see, and that's the person they've come to see, and they're third on the card because we want the women to be last because they're women, is wrong, he's right. He's absolutely right. I have seen Jordynne Grace wrestle in person 3 times. She's not ready for the main event. Not in a big card, she's not. Not in a big card. Maybe in some small independent card she is. Not in a big card, she's not. And if someone's telling her she is, they're lying to her. Tessa Blanchard is a different situation. You got to take people individually, not by their sex. So, Todd, I don't know. It's got the Sandman in some hot water, but I don't necessarily think he's completely wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that conversation with this, between the Sandman and Tessa Blanchard, that should not be out in public. That should be kept like between the two of them in a conversation, a private one.
Yep. I agree 1,000%. Really have no idea why. Tessa Blanchard was so triggered by that comment. Now, if she really thought that comment had no merit, why in the world would you seek the audience's approval? In other words, if I'm backstage and somebody told me, oh, dude, some guy, you know, like you doesn't belong in the main event, I'm not going to go out and tell the crowd that. I'm just going to be like, kick you. I don't really care what you think. Here's the cold, hard fact is I am the main event. So, phew. This isn't anything I need to discuss with the crowd. They said I'm not good enough. Cheer me so I feel better about myself. Please, knock it off. Just knock it off. That aggravated me. It aggravated me a lot. Anyway, speaking of, we watched Starrcade, didn't we? And talk about aggravation. You literally promised the fans 2 matches. You ended up with 3. But you promised the fans 2 matches. The 4-team women's tag team title match. And Rusev versus Bobby Lashley. And I will be damned if you didn't take that away. I will be damned if you didn't bait and switch us there too. Because you have Lana come out and say, I filed a restraining order again, and he's not allowed to be here. And now listen, Kevin Owens doing a wonderful job of telling Lana off. Kevin Owens, this is the Kevin Owens we wanted to see, by the way. Remember when he was in SmackDown saying, please don't fire me. I have children. I'll be your slave. I'll be your bath mat. Just don't fire me. And if you do, I'm going to sue you. I'll see you in court. That's not the Kevin Owens we wanted. This is the Kevin Owens we wanted. Who says, hey, Lashley? Nobody's cared about your career since you started this ridiculous storyline. And Lana, you're the only person I know who talks constantly and says nothing. This is the Kevin Owens we wanted. So if this is getting anybody over, it's getting Kevin Owens over. But the fans, as much as they like Kevin Owens, they were promised Rusev. And Rusev wasn't hurt because he got in the ring, didn't he? So you always knew it wasn't going to be Rusev. So you literally gave the fans, and this is one thing if we're tuning in on the WWE Network, but if you're piling into Starrcade to watch this match and you don't get it, I'm not happy about that. By the way, piling into Starrcade is really an exaggeration. The crowd was horrible. I saw pictures of that arena, and it wasn't a third full. The WWE's got a major problem, because if you can put The Fiend in a steel cage with Braun Strowman and can't draw, I don't know. That don't look good. It does not look good. What's happening is the WWE is starting to lose certain territories. They're starting to lose certain areas where fans are like, I'm just not that interested anymore. They go to certain areas and yeah, they sell out. They go to other areas and it's like, eh. And if you can't sell out Starrcade with Ric Flair, who God bless him, it might be time to just downplay this a little bit. Ric Flair got in and it wasn't good. It wasn't good. And of course it led to the Street Profits coming on down to save the day. And the OC rather than AJ Styles. I thought it was going to be AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, but now we know why it wasn't, because it was going to be Kevin Owens and Bobby Lashley. But we get the OC and the Street Profits. It was an okay match. The women's tag team match was pretty good, I guess. But this was an awful event. If this is the best you can do for Starrcade, I don't know what to tell you. And as long as you didn't sell the building out, I mean, my God in heaven, could you not have just broadcast the whole thing for us? Is there a problem that the cameras had to be shut off? I know people are working out their matches. They're not polished matches yet. I get it. But come on. It's outrageous. So, I mean, listen, Starrcade was the longest hour I think I've ever spent watching wrestling. I kept saying to myself, well, this is longer than an hour. This is going on two, right? Aren't we close to 2 hours? And when it ended, I'm like, this is like an hour and 8 minutes. My God. Thankfully, they didn't show it all. I couldn't take anymore. I was wrestled out, believe me. By the time that hour and 8 minutes or whatever the hell it was over, I'm like, I've had enough of this. Mike, this was just a disaster, especially considering they call it Starrcade, which was, you know, at one time a very prestigious event.
Right, and I'll put it to you another way. I sent you an article in Facebook Messenger about all the trademarks that Cody Rhodes wants. Basically, the vast majority of them have to do with stuff that came out of WCW from his dad. You know,
right.
Super Brawl, Bash at the Beach, all these things, and one of them it would be Starrcade, but they were using it. So the WWE is going to treat Starrcade this way, just let the trademark go away and let Cody Rhodes have it, please, if you're going to treat it this way.
I agree with that. Sell it to them if you got to. Whatever you want to do, trade it for something else. We get Jake Hager back, you get Starrcade. Listen, I don't know. But the bottom line of the situation is, yeah, if you're going to treat it this badly, because this was bad. This was bad. Embarrassingly bad. For the benefit of the people who don't know the rest of the matches, Seth Rollins beat Eric Rowan. Where do we go from here? AJ Styles lost to Randy Orton. The Fiend beat Braun Strowman in the cage. The Miz lost to Shinsuke Nakamura. It was all pretty easily predictable. And the crowd wasn't there to see it. I mean, let's just face it. You go online, take a look at the pictures for the Starrcade crowd, and you will be shocked. Absolutely shocked. Todd, did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched the hour of it, and like you said, I was not too happy with the crowd either. And, you know, it was like that arena was not all the way full. It's not like back in the 80s and 90s of Starrcade.
And what do you think about, you know, them advertising the Rusev match and then not having it?
I was a little disappointed, too.
Yeah.
And
how would you like to have been the guy who was spending like $100 on the seats? The WWE cannot continue to do this. You cannot continue to do this. You just can't. I know what they were hoping. Well, all the heat's going to go to Lana and Lashley. They're the ones who took away this main event. No, no, no. You're not going to get away with that. The people are going to be like, this is bullshit. They beat and switched us. Fans don't like that. Anyway, let's get on to this week's Raw. Because we're only 2 weeks away from TLC. And last week I said, look, I'm going to give Raw a decent grade because it was after their Survivor Series pay-per-view. They needed to reset and get things in order for TLC. And I thought they did a pretty good job of it. So this week I'm saying, okay, now we're going to push the button a little bit more because you've only got this Raw and one more. Next week's Raw is the go-home show to TLC. We don't know a match. Not a match. We can presume a couple of them, but we don't know them. And what do they do? Really, they just put on a whole event of enhancement matches. I don't want to call them squash matches because Tozawa's wasn't squashed. Gulak wasn't squashed. But Eric Young wasn't squashed, but they got in offense, yes, but the outcome was never in doubt. Ever in doubt. But let's start first with Seth Rollins coming out saying he wants to apologize. We get the AOP pulling up in a limo, and they scream at, I think it was Charlie Caruso in whatever language. Seth Rollins comes out and says, he wants to apologize to the fans. He wants to apologize to the people in the back. Mostly he wants to apologize to Kevin Owens. Wants to bring Kevin Owens out. Again, through all of this shitstorm, Kevin Owens is the only guy who's coming off well. Kevin Owens comes out and basically says, you know, I smell bullshit. Well, that's really good because that makes Kevin Owens the only face that has a brain. You know, every other face would come out and say, it's okay, Seth. Thank you for apologizing. You can be my partner. No. Kevin Owens is like, I don't believe you. And then when the AOP come out and challenge them both, Kevin Owens says, hey, I know how this is going to end with the three of you kicking my ass. That's not happening. If you're going to do that, do it now. To which Seth Rollins just walks out, and so do the AOP. But Lashley and Lana come down. Well, we'll talk about that after the beginning. I like the beginning, Mike, because at least Kevin Owens is coming off as a believable character who's not totally brain dead.
Right. You know, at least he's doing that. And at least, and this is, look, like you said, this is the Kevin Owens we want to see. from 2 nights ago, and then again from last night. This is the guy we want to see. This is the guy, this is the character that's going to get the cheers from the fans.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely correct, because he's very good on the mic. And remember when I said on this show, we want that insulting Kevin Owens who cuts right to the core and tells you just like it is, tells Seth Rollins, you're full of crap. I don't trust you as far as I can throw you. That's the kind of Kevin Owens we want. So Lana and Lashley come down, and Lana says, I have something to say. And Kevin Owens is like, please, Jesus, already, no more. You talk for 18 minutes and say absolutely nothing. And he's absolutely right. And the crowd is loving it because it's about time somebody told somebody exactly as it was. See, that's the thing. Kevin Owens can get over as this character who's not afraid to just say it like it is. But what does Lana have to say? I filed another restraining order. Oh, my God. Are you going to play this out again? The only reason you're playing it out again, nobody watched Starrcade. So figure, what the hell? Since nobody watched it, we could do it again. Which is exactly what you did. It's exactly what you did. You just repeated Starrcade. With one minor difference. We had the AOP come out and destroy Kevin Owens in the middle of the match. Well, look, I'm not 100% sure where this is going, but I will tell you this. It can't be and shouldn't be as easy as Seth Rollins is lying and he really is the leader of AOP. Something's up. Now, I don't know whether he's going to come to be that. Probably. But there's something else going on. There has to be. There absolutely has to be. Or this is not that great of an angle. Because if all it is Seth Rollins is lying and he really is using the AOP as his, you know, new bodyguards, J&J Security Part 2, then it's pretty predictable and it's unfortunate. But I just don't see the WWE doing that. Seth Rollins is sort of like, no, that's not what I'm doing. And people don't get it. I'm trying to make the company better and whatever. And I just think something, he's going to get there eventually. But I don't think he's there now. I don't think that's what the plot line is trying to tell us, is that he's lying. And otherwise, I don't think you'd have Kevin Owens flat out come out and say it. If the plot is Seth Rollins is lying, he really is behind the AOP's attacks, I don't think you'd have Kevin Owens come out and say it. So that means something else is going on. And I think Seth will get there, but I don't think he's there now. So that I found a little bit interesting, Mike, but the match itself, you know, it was just a repeat.
Right, it was just a repeat. And then, of course, I enjoy, yeah, you're not, you could probably take one of those two guys on, you know, mano and mano, but what happened was they ended up, what should have happened is that those two big guys who I guess are MMA type guys, but are MMA type trained guys, ended up dragging Kevin Owens away. That's what should
right.
happen.
Right, exactly. Well, and to his credit, Kevin Owens says, if we're going to do this, let's just do this. I'll take you both on, preferably one at a time. That he did say that. So, again, Kevin Owens is hitting all the right buttons. But he's hitting all the right buttons in a really bad play. He's the actor who has good lines in a bad play. And right now, this is a bad play. So, Todd, it was just kind of a repeat from what we saw on Starrcade.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. I remember last week on Monday Night Raw, after Rusev got arrested. Now, the roles reversed. This time, Lana and Lashley gets arrested this week. Like,
right.
Okay. It's like, all right.
Now, we'll talk about that a little bit, because when Rusev, of course, hits the ring, the security or the police really don't do anything. And that's weird, because, of course, if there was a restraining order and Rusev hit the ring, he's going to go to jail. And this would be his second time violating it. He's got trouble. Instead, they kind of get in Lashley's face and say, don't tell us how to do our job. This is Tennessee. We'll do things differently. What do you mean you do things differently? You support the guy whose name is on a restraining order? That doesn't make any sense. So that was dumb. I wish they hadn't have done that. And had I been the script writer, I would have said that is not going to be a line. What Lashley should say is, you guys did absolutely nothing. You guys are a bunch of idiots. You guys, blah, 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 blah. And have the guy say, look, our job is not to get in there and, you know, tackle this guy. He'll be dealt with. He's going to be dealt with. And then Lashley say, well, he better be. And then bump him. Because then if you bump a cop, yeah, you're going to jail. Now, I should say that I thought Lawler and Samoa Joe both were doing heel announcing, which was really weird. If you're going to have Samoa Joe do the heel, I don't know why Jerry's doing it too, but I enjoyed them both. I enjoyed Jerry Lawler and Samoa Joe, especially when Joe says, well, come on, Lashley just walked into him a little bit. See, this is the difference between a guy like Samoa Joe and Corey Graves. Samoa Joe says, I don't know if Lashley bumped him on purpose. But then when Lana slaps him, he says, well, you can't do that. That you cannot do. So now she is going to jail. At least he's like a realistic heel who says, all right, well, that's too far. You know, I can imagine Corey Graves saying, I think the cop tried to ogle her. He would have come up with some stupid thing. He didn't do it. Later on, Samoa Joe did say, well, I don't know, it could have been a reflex, but he was joking. But in the moment, he said, yeah, well, you can't do that. You cannot do. So they're led away with Lana screaming she's going to sue. The angle's getting a little bit better because at least it's off of her just constantly, you know, trying to irritate Rusev with the relationship. And now it's on to a more like legal type thing. And they've somehow managed to get Kevin Owens involved in it. I don't know how. And I guess it's getting a little better than it was, but they still got to wrap this up pretty soon. So as far as the opening was concerned, Mike, I thought it was decent, but I didn't think it was great.
Yeah, I didn't think it was great either. And as far as this goes, look, here's the thing. In real life, the police really – this whole angle with Lana and Rusev is basically a domestic dispute, right? You know? And
yeah.
Basically, in real life – the cops, yeah, they'll give you a restraining order, but they generally do not like getting involved in domestic disputes. You know, they generally don't like that. So,
well, worse than that, Mike, is they're not going to give you, they're not going to give Lana a restraining order when he didn't do anything to Lana. They'd say, well, what did he personally do to you? Did he hit you? Did he threaten you? No, he didn't do any of those things. Oh, he beat up my boyfriend. Yeah, in a course of a professional wrestling match where people are beaten up all the time. How many people run down? Okay, then the AOP should be arrested. No? How about if Kevin Owens gets a restraining order? I mean, what? You know, the whole thing doesn't make a ton of sense. So it's mildly entertaining, but it's not well thought out because it doesn't make a lot of sense. Anyway, Drew McIntyre comes out and says and beats the hell out of Akira Tozawa, who poor Tozawa. I'm okay with this because you got to have guys who are just carpenters who build up other guys. You got to have them. They're vitally important. But Tozawa's got a ton of talent, and it is a shame. It is a shame that 205 Live looks like it's going to not be around much longer, and I don't know if Tozawa's going to acclimate into NXT, or it looks like Raw, and if it's going to be Raw, he's going to be the guy who gets pinned. But afterwards, Drew McIntyre, and this is confusing as hell, calls out Randy Orton basically about nothing. basically says, well, you think you own the place. Well, no, wait a minute. This is a bad thing for a heel to say, and I'll tell you why, because most people feel that that's true. You walk around here, you do whatever you want, you think you're above this, and, you know, maybe 10 years ago you were something, you're not that big of a deal now. Who do you think you are talking to people this way and blah, blah, blah. And people, you know, are saying, well, I kind of agree with Drew McIntyre. So that's unfortunate. I thought this did a lot to hurt McIntyre for a few reasons. McIntyre shouldn't be the kind of guy who's saying, you did wrong to me and I'm mad at you and I think you should know that I'm the... He's not that guy. McIntyre's just a guy that comes in and kicks your head off. He doesn't give you explanations. He doesn't say, I'm mad at you. You know what I mean? So I didn't like it. But here's why I liked it even less. The OC come down, and McIntyre just is like, yeah, okay, well, I can see you guys got business, so I'll just see you later. What? I thought for sure he was going to at least interfere and or do something. He did nothing. I don't even know why he was around. Todd, this was a very confusing segment.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was very confusing, and it just don't make any sense with that.
And here's what makes even less sense. Somehow, in this convoluted storyline, we get Ricochet, we get Humberto Carrillo, and we get Rey Mysterio. All running down to make a save. Okay. Why? I could see Ricochet. Maybe even Humberto Carrillo, but why Rey? Well, we'll know why, won't we? Because then Randy Orton backstage says, I don't need your help. And you guys can have your three-way or your six-man tag match. I'm out of it. And he really was. Don't get that. So that's your main event. So you've set up your main event for the night. By the way, Seth Rollins is not really even on the show anymore, other than to just say to Charlie Caruso that, you know, he didn't help Kevin Owens because I offered my help. Kevin Owens didn't want my help. So that's that. Okay. All right. So we'll see where that's going. Aleister Black, who I guess is a face, who's acting like a heel, beats Tony Nese, and I'm going to have a problem with this. I know I'm going to have a problem with the Aleister Black character, and here's why. I get he's a good striker. I get it's the Dutch kickboxing. I get the whole nine yards. I don't see Aleister Black standing toe-to-toe with Bobby Lashley and doing the same thing. I don't see Aleister Black standing toe-to-toe with, you know, huge guys and doing, I just don't see it. I'm sure in Dutch kickboxing, there's a weight classification. And it's fine when you're fighting Tony Nese, and it's fine when you're fighting Buddy Murphy, but it's not going to be fine when you're fighting these bigger guys. And he's coming off as Superman. I can take this punishment and come back. Yeah, but from a guy your size, yeah, but not from the huge guys. So I can see a problem I'm going to have with this. The best thing you could do is turn Aleister Black heel, because this isn't going to work as a face. I didn't see the crowd particularly getting into it. And Buddy Murphy is more and more and more looking like a face when they interview him, and he says, yeah, I knocked on his door because I'm going to expose him for what he is. Well, the truth of the matter is, it is dumb. Okay, I'm a professional athlete who gets paid to fight, but I'm going to sit in a dark room and wait for you to knock on the door and challenge me because I'm so tough that I don't want to challenge you, and then I'm responsible for the horrible things I do to you. You have to come to me. Well, I don't know. Everybody seems to have survived Aleister Black just fine. So, you know, Sami Zayn is fine. Buddy Murphy's still fine. I'm sure Tony Nese will be fine. So what's the deal? That's a heel thing. It's not a face thing. So when Buddy Murphy says, yeah, I knocked on his door, well, Buddy Murphy looks like the brave one then. Imagine if there's some guy that says, knock this freaking chip off my shoulder, I dare you. Is that the good guy? Is that the face? There's a guy in a bar says, anybody comes up here and knocks this off my shoulder, we're fighting. That's the good guy? Or is it the guy who knocks it off his shoulder and says, let's go? So the WWE got a problem here. And I don't think they realize it, Mike.
Right, they do have a problem. And look, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing with Randy Orton. Randy Orton has always had this chip on his shoulder. Oh, I'm the best one here. I'm this. I'm that. Yeah, he's had 13 title reigns, but you know, but really, he should have been the one to be the one to break Ric Flair's record. But that's neither here nor there. You know, that guy is another guy that shouldn't have the chip on his shoulder, but he does at times. You know, this guy, and like you said, Buddy Murphy, he's stepping up. That's how it appears. He's the one that's stepping up. He's the one
right.
That says, I'm going to get it done, and you're not going to stop me. And
right.
People pull for that stuff.
I agree. See, you're exactly correct. You and me are lockstep in the same psychology of wrestling. This makes Buddy Murphy look like the good guy. He's the guy in the bar who says, I'm tired of this guy saying, knock this off my shoulder, and I'll prove to you I'm the toughest guy in the bar. I'm tired of this guy saying this. I'm going to go over there and knock that damn thing off his shoulder. That's the guy you're going to root for. I don't know why the WWE thinks of anything else. So just go ahead and flip Aleister Black if that's what you're going to do. That's fine. Andrade Cien Almas. I think I can still say that and not be sued. Takes on Eric Young, who is almost unrecognizable. He has shaved everything. His head, he has no beard. He has no hair. It's like, my guy, I could hardly recognize him. Such an underutilized guy, and I'm glad to see that he got in a lot of offense. Almost won the match. I'm glad to see it. That's why I'm not calling this a squash match, but, I mean, let's face it, we all knew he wasn't winning, so it's not that big of a deal. We're just waiting for the inevitable. That's the problem with last night's Raw. It was always waiting for the inevitable. I like the fact you're using Eric Young, but maybe we could have had Eric Young against, somebody a little less up the card so we didn't know exactly who was going to win, maybe? Eric Young and Akira Tozawa? I would have liked to have seen that. But it was Andrade. And once again, the star of this show is Jerry Lawler, who says repeatedly, Zelina Vega is responsible for a tremendous amount, a major amount of Andrade's success. He's trying hard to sell her. Now, if you want to leave this team alone of Lawler, Samoa Joe, who I guess broke his thumb and he can't do anything for the rest of his life, I don't know how severely you can break your thumb. And I'm not trying to cast aspersions on Samoa Joe, but let me explain to you that I played football with a partially broken arm. It was cracked. And I played baseball with a dislocated thumb. I don't know why Samoa Joe can't just put on a brace and wrestle. I don't know. It's his thumb. But he's a good announcer. And him and Lawler work pretty well together. So I'm okay with this. Because I got news for you. I was never a Samoa Joe fan in the ring. Ever. Never was. I said, Joe is a good talker. Talks a great fight. And he does. He doesn't deliver a great fight. Last night, Joe delivered a lot of really good information. We'll get to it. But even in the main event, when he says, hey, watch AJ Styles. Watch him. I know AJ Styles like the back of my hand. I know when he's hurt, and I know when he's playing possum. And he was right. Which, of course, he already knew ahead of time, but that's cool because it's like, oh, yeah, well, that's insight. Hey, how about that? An announcer who actually can give us insight instead of just saying, I said because who cares? Now we've got an actual announcer who can give us some insight. and Lawler, who's an expert at selling what he needs to sell. Well, that's a pretty good team. So while I wasn't too thrilled with the, it was an okay match, Andrade and Eric Young. I wish they'd do something with Eric Young, but it doesn't look like it. I do think this announced team was very good, Mike.
Yeah, I like the announced team. I mean, and look, you know, I don't want to say it minimize the play-by-play guy, but, you know, and his job, we know what the play-by-play guy's job is, you know. It was Phillips, right?
Yep.
Or was it the other guy? Yeah, it was Phillips. So, but they made him look like he was fading in the background, which probably they shouldn't, but because his job is to call the match, and their job is to help get people over. But again, they did a good job, and yeah, what have I been saying about looking strong, making these two look strong? It helps him look strong if she looks strong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what the other announcers weren't doing. And even some of the booking wasn't doing. Now they are. Now they're saying these two as a team, because they're not a couple, but as a team, she's the brains, he's the skill, she keeps him focused. It's a good thing. But Eric Young, Todd, was almost unrecognizable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, like you said, with the haircut, the shaved beard and everything, like shaving clean cut person right there. And like, I didn't recognize him at first either.
I didn't either. He's very good at what he does. I wish they would use him a little more. Anyway, we get Charlotte Flair taking on both Kabuki Warriors. Now, we started this show talking about the Sandman's comment. I would argue this could have been the main event. This could potentially have been the main event, and I'd have been okay with it. Because these are your tag team champions. And this is Charlotte Flair, and she is over, and there is a history of why she did this. And there is a, what's the right word for it? There's a gimmick to it. And the gimmick is, I'm challenging both at once, since I got to fight them anyway. They always end up 2-on-1. I might as well have them both in the ring. And Charlotte Flair's ego of saying, which I thought Samoa Joe did such a brilliant, brilliant job. Him and Jerry Lawler were the absolute best in this match. I enjoyed their commentary so much during this match. Because on one hand, Jerry Lawler is saying, I have fought Ric Flair. And I know the apple don't fall far from the tree. And I'm telling you, don't count Charlotte Flair out. Because I counted Ric Flair out a bazillion times, and it never panned out too well for me. And Samoa Joe saying, I get where you're coming from, but these are the tag team champions. There's not one woman who's going to beat both of these. It's not going to happen. I don't care who it is. It's not going to happen. And then both guys, to their credit, sort of giving the other guy credit by Joe saying, I didn't think she'd do that well. It's absolutely amazing that she really did almost win. And Jerry Lawler saying, man, you're right. Those Kabuki Warriors, there's no one person's beaten both of them. Brilliant announcing. This is a great announce team. I hope they keep it. I know they're not going to because Joe wants to wrestle, but I'm telling you, Joe should think about it. Because these two guys work really well together. Anyway, this was the best match of the night. Hands down, the best match of the night. There was a one or two little flubs, especially Kairi Sane, who just literally stood on the turnbuckle at the end for a minute. Are you ever going to drop the elbow? I know she was trying to be careful and make sure because Charlotte Flair was arched. Very easy to hurt somebody, but you got to pull the trigger at some point because it was starting to look dumb. But this was great. This sold the Kabuki Warriors. I have went from thinking the Kabuki Warriors are the dumbest gimmick I have ever seen in my life, and it's laughable, to I am totally into this team because they changed them. They are now really good heels. They work well together. You can see how tough they are. You can see what their game plan is, always seems to be the same, and they follow that game plan. And this was a very, very, very good match as far as to say, look, Charlotte Flair has an ego. Of course she does. She's Ric Flair's daughter. She calls herself the queen. She's got a big ego. But even her, as good as she is and as hard as she fought and almost won, you're not beating the Kabuki Warriors with one person. Period. Period. And I thought that was great. I mean, I thought the match was an A-plus match. I really did. I thought it was a very good match, Mike.
I thought so, too. And look, they took away the ring gear from Kairi Sane again. And she's back to the ring gear you liked, you know?
Yep.
So that's another thing that came out of the match. It seems like they finally decided that the Pirate Princess thing or whatever wasn't working and gave her the one that was. And look, the only thing that's missing is we know that what's her name uses the mist. I would like to see at some point Kairi Sane use the mist, because it would
wouldn't that be great
her too.
Yeah. That would be great, because then you think, well, I only have to worry about Asuka, but then Kairi Sane does it too. I agree. And listen, yeah, I was tired of the Sailor Moon thing, okay? That's what she was trying to be Sailor Moon. Wasn't working. This is better. And I got news. When she was beating her with an umbrella, I'm like, well, Jesus, that's pretty good, man. They look vicious. I like this team. I like this team. I hope that they can convince Kairi Sane to stay. Because I see things down the road for these, both of them. I really do. This is a solid team, and you can run with this team for a while. So I thought this was the best match of the night, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Charlotte Flair versus the Kabuki Warriors, I thought she was going to do a double superplex with the two of them on the top rope.
I know, me too, yeah.
I was like, this is, I've never seen this before. And like, nope.
And what makes that great is you think you're going to do it, and you're like, oh, well, no, that would be dumb. Could she really do it? Oh, see, she can't really do it. There was a lot of logic in this match. There really was. There was a lot of good logic in this match. I enjoyed this match, and I especially enjoyed it because I thought the commentary sold this match so well. If you want a perfect example of how commentary can help boost a match, look no further than this match. Everyone did a great job in this match. Everyone did. And it boosted the people in the ring. Surprise, surprise. So we got Eric Rowan demolished. No Way Jose. That's cool. I have no idea why you had a woman backstage just saying, Eric, what's in the cage? Eric, what's in the cage? Eric, what's in the cage? He obviously don't want to tell you what's in the cage. I have no idea why you keep asking. I don't even want to talk about the 24/7 thing because this, I warned everybody. When everybody was all hyped up saying this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, I told you this is going to denigrate into nonsense. And now Kyle Busch is the champion. Well, he's not, because R-Truth won it back later after the show. This is just dumb. I mean, this is dumb. If you don't see how dumb this is, if you just want to use this as the comedy relief of the WWE, fine, but keep it off the main card because this is just ridiculous. Viking Raiders obviously do a squash. I don't know what their new gimmick is, saying, are you watching? I don't know what that means. My presumption is that we're going to get Sarah Logan as their manager. I don't know. That's what I'm presuming. But that leads us to the main event, which is the OC versus Mysterio, Humberto Carrillo, and Ricochet. I don't think they did themselves any favors backstage. I'll tell you why. Ricochet literally says, and I'm sure it was written for him, all I really care about is proving to people that superheroes are real. Okay, so you think you're a superhero. So you are now the Hurricane. You legitimately think you're a superhero. You know what a superhero is? Someone with powers beyond that of mortal men. Is that what you think? Well, then you're a heel. Or you're comedy relief, like the Hurricane used to be. But if you're really a face saying, I'm a superhero, superheroes are real, and I really am a superhero, you're delusional. You're an egomaniac, and you're delusional. So that's dumb. That was a very bad line. That was a very bad line, especially bad line, considering you knew what was going to happen later on. Not a line you want a face to deliver. I'd have much rather seen a Ricochet that said, look, I'm not trying to be anybody's superhero. I'm trying to make a living and a name for myself in this business. And from day one, the OC, they just won't let me. They got it out for me. And now apparently it's the same way with you, Humberto. Since you came in here, they had it out for you. It seems like anybody who comes in here that's new and fresh and has a chance, they want to beat down before they even get a chance. And if we're ever going to make a statement, we better make it tonight. And thankfully, we have a veteran. We have a guy with experience on our team, Rey Mysterio. That's what he should have said. Not, I'm going to prove superheroes are real because I am a superhero. Okay. Well, guess what happens? The superhero gets pinned. So there was a smart thing to say, right? I'm a superhero, but I got pinned by AJ Styles. But give credit to Jerry Lawler, who kept saying, this guy's no superhero. I know superheroes, and I don't think of anybody close to Ricochet when I think about superheroes. But then later on, when they're all flying all over the ring, Jerry Lawler is like, maybe they are superheroes. They're flying all over the place. You see, that's what I'm trying to say about a heel announcer. A heel announcer eats his words a lot because that sells the guy. Corey Graves never eats his words. Ever, never, ever, ever, ever. He just says, oh, well, no. I'm right and you're wrong. That's the brilliance of Jerry Lawler trying to sell Ricochet and trying to sell Carrillo. And for this match, it was Samoa Joe who was the calmer, cooler, factual guy saying, look, all these moves are impressive. I've been in there with AJ Styles. I'm telling you. If you give him a second, you're making a huge mistake because he'll get you. And then called it, which I'm sure he knew it was the end anyway, but called it very brilliantly when he said, watch AJ in this position, watch him. And sure enough, AJ was faking, hits him with the Styles Clash off the second turnbuckle and pins him. Not a great match, but once again, the announcers helped this so much. So much. Then I ended up really enjoying this match. And then Randy Orton comes in and he hits AJ. And that's how we go off the air. Well, it was not a great Raw. There wasn't a lot that happened. But I'll tell you, the announcing this week was right on the money. As good as you can get. If the WWE is stretching for a team, you just found it. This is it. Because Joe style and Lawler style are polar opposites. They sometimes they're both heels, but Joe is more like the factual and Jerry Lawler is more the emotional. And then the guy in the middle, the play-by-play, he's just calling the action. I like it. I like it a lot. They helped the women's match and they helped this main event immeasurably. Immeasurably. And Joe also helped with the AOP when he says, look, you can't deal with these. There's one way to deal with men like this. And it's the only way. And you're either going to do it or you're not, but you're not going to deal with them talking to them. That's selling the AOP. So I'm giving an A-plus to the announce team. The show, I don't mind a squash match or an enhancement match, one or two a show, especially if you're going to get guys off the bench like Eric Young and, you know, we get to see some of these people we haven't seen. However, five of them is a little much. You don't pay to go to see Monday Night Raw to see five preliminary matches. And let's face it, the Viking Raiders, that was a squash match. Drew McIntyre, Akira Tozawa, it's not a squash match, but it's a preliminary match. Eric Young and Andrade, as good as that match could have been, you knew Eric Young was never, ever, ever winning, so it's kind of a preliminary match. It was just one after the other, all night long. You got the Charlotte Flair Kabuki Warriors match, good match. You got the beginning match with Lashley and KO, which wasn't a good match, but it was a big angle thing, so okay. And then you got the match at the end. You got three matches last night. The rest of it was just hokum. Now, I'm okay with a couple of them. Like I said, I'm okay with two per Raw. Maybe even one per hour. Three. But not five. Or six. That's too many. So that has to bring down this rating considerably. Because nothing happened. And again, you got TLC right around the corner. What are you going to do? Build it up in a week? You got one Raw to build this up. One. That's outrageous. It better be very SmackDown heavy, because at least SmackDown has two shots at the apple. Right now, Raw has one. Next week's the go-home show. Now we can presume AJ Styles and Randy Orton. We can presume Rusev and Lashley. We can presume something with Kevin Owens and possibly Seth Rollins against the AOP. We can presume that, but we don't have that on paper. We don't know. So for that reason, I have to give the announcers an A+. I give a couple of these matches good grades, but I can't give the show an excellent grade because there was just too many matches that really didn't matter in the long run. So I'm going to give it a C+. Mike, what's your thought?
I'm going to give it a little bit better and say a B-, because match and with the Viking Raiders ends up leading to, say, Sarah Logan becoming their valet or manager, then they've done their job there. So I'm going to give that a B-.
Okay. I should say also that maybe I'm the only guy on the planet. I'm not sold on the Street Profits. They're okay. They're just not doing much for me. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to go with you, Mark, with this grade C+.
Okay, so we're all in the same ballpark. Look, Raw wasn't terrible last night. You can't have every match be a main event and then say, how come the pay-per-views have the same matches? Well, there's only so many people. So I'm all for having a Drew McIntyre against, you know, Akira Tozawa. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Andrade against Eric Young. I'm okay with that. But here's what you got to do, WWE. Once a month, you got to have Eric Young against Akira Tozawa. You understand? It can't always be a top guy against a mid-level or lower guy. Then here's another top guy against a mid-level or lower guy. It's got to be, yes, we had two or three of these matches this week, but now two of these mid-level lower guys. How about Curt Hawkins and, if they're not going to be a tag team anymore, how about Curt Hawkins against Eric Young? The winner at least gets a little bit of a rub so that the next time he fights someone, you say, well, he got a win. Akira Tozawa hasn't had one win. How come Akira Tozawa can't go against somebody lower level like an Eric Young and get a win? Don't forget to build your undercard too. Don't forget to build your enhancement talent. Once in a while, if you're going to use these guys as enhancement talent, you got to say enhancement talent against top level guy, enhancement talent against top level guy. But now we're going to have two enhancement guys and you're going to be the higher of the enhancement guys. You're going to get the win. That would be good. And I don't want to see the 205 Live guys just thrown to the wolves either. Tony Nese, you know, come on, man. Tony Nese was a 205 Live champion. He didn't hang at all with Aleister Black. Wow. That's something, right? So we'll see. I mean, we'll see how this goes. I just hope the WWE is smart enough to say we have to take our enhancement talent once in a while and push him a little bit. Get a win for Akira Tozawa. Get a win for an Eric Young. At least give him, or give him a mic. Give him an opportunity to get over a little bit. You're not going to get over if you just keep throwing him out there to get booted. Give him a little opportunity to say something or do something or be in an angle or something. How about you have a build-up between Eric Young and Akira Tozawa or Curt Hawkins or anybody? Regardless of what brand you're on, what I'm saying is build up your – spend a tiny little bit of time also building your enhancement talent so it doesn't feel like, oh, God, here comes Tozawa again. Let's go for popcorn because we know he's losing. What do you think is going to happen if Tozawa comes out there and they say, Tozawa now is going to fight one of the AOP? Well, we can go to the bathroom now, can't we? Because we all know Tozawa's losing. But how about if we say Tozawa's coming out here to fight Tony Nese or Drew Gulak? Oh, maybe we better stick around. We don't know who's winning. Let's see what happens here. See what I mean? So I think they got to do that more often, Mike.
Right, and here's something else. Have one of these enhancement talent guys go on a bit of a run. Yeah, you're beating enhancement talent guys, but go on a little bit of a run. You know they're not going to win, you know, the U.S. title or whatever, but have them go on a little bit of a run.
I agree. Yeah, that would be great. Let them have a couple of victories in a row. I think Dolph Ziggler said it best. If you never win, how can you expect the crowd to be invested into anything you do? Once in a while, you got to get a win or a couple. So it's not guaranteed you're going to lose. Otherwise, the crowd just looks at you as, oh, well, there's no point. There's nothing you can do. You know, it's to the point where the crowd's like, you're going to lose. You're going to lose when you come out. Well, yeah, they've already got it figured. I know a lot of people gave Raw an F. The reason I didn't is I thought the announced team was solidified beyond anything I've heard in the last, oh, I don't know, year. I like this team. Please keep this team. Samoa Joe, seriously consider it. I'm telling you. And I do like that you're trying to use your undercard. But use your undercard, again, I think the fans would have been more entertained by Akira Tozawa versus Tony Nese than they might have been by seeing them both kind of just get beat up. Throw one of those matches in there. If you want to throw a couple of squash matches in, fine. But then throw one match in every week that's a couple of guys usually don't win against each other. So they get that win. That's important. That's an important element. That's the little tiny bit of spice in the show that keeps these guys fresh a little bit, at least. Anyway, we'll see what happens on SmackDown. They've got two episodes to promote TLC. Raw didn't promote it much at all. Let's see if SmackDown does. Thanks for listening, and we will see you on Friday with the AEW NXT report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.